You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We are also a part of Ampire Media at ampiremedia.com. I'm Wole. I'm alone. My co-host Ray Jeezy's out. But also, I mentioned Ampire Media. Ampire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones, and subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you subscribe to The Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the red subscribe button and like this video. Hey, don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG. At Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. You can also check out our weekly NFL picks on the Football Garbage Time website. Just go to www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's part of the Urban Sports Scene and Football Garbage Time Pick'em Challenge. I'm in last place, so don't follow my picks. My picks are trash. You know what I mean? I think I do stuff for fun nowadays. Anyway, Will T would normally say this, but I'm going to say it for him. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk sports journeys. Washington Commanders reporter Lake Lewis Jr. will join me to talk about the Commanders losing to the New York Jets and their upcoming game against former Commanders Chase Young, Kyle Shanahan, also Trent Williams, and the San Francisco 49ers. Then hosts of Lock on Wizards podcast, Brandon Scott, and I will debate whether the acquisition of Tyus Jones was better than the acquisition of Jordan Poole. And finally, I'll talk about former boxing heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder losing to Joseph Parker. I'll also talk about former heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua's impressive victory over Otto Wallen. Wayne and Jermaine from the Adams Boxing Show will join me to discuss both fights and how it may impact a potential Joshua Wilder fight. All right, but as my guest is here, so let me introduce my guest. Right now, we have Sports Journeys Washington Commanders reporter Lake Lewis Jr. online. What's going on, Lake?
What's going on, my man? What's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? This has been a busy day. So, you know, I had this whole thing planned out for the actual benching, but we can go into it Sunday. At MetLife Stadium, the Washington Commanders fell to the New York Jets 30-28. Quarterback Sam Howell was benched after being down 27-7. Jacoby Brissett led a comeback with Washington taking the lead 28-27 in the fourth quarter. However, Washington's defense couldn't hold up. So this all led to today, Coach Rivera naming Jacoby Brissett as the starter moving forward for the next game against the San Francisco 49ers. First off, your thoughts on Sam Howell's benching?
I mean, he's been struggling over the past several weeks, mm-hmm. and, you know, we heard the grumblings that it was something that could be coming, and mm-hmm. I knew it was coming after Sunday's loss. Yeah. I mean, it was quite apparent, and then obviously Ron pushed up his press conference, so you knew it was coming. It's not a surprise. I guess I'm a little surprised just from the standpoint that you've gone this far with him.
That was my thought process.
You've gone this far with him, and if he's mm-hmm. fragile and you're mm-hmm. trying to protect him against two good defenses in the 49ers and Cowboys by not playing him, then he's not my quarterback then.
There you go. I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Because I,
thinking the same thing.
The CJ Straub's team struggling without him, you know. Mm-hmm. He's a rookie, you know. Yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, if you're trying to protect the guy because he's mentally fragile right now and struggling, then that's not a good look for anybody. Mm-hmm. And I also think what can happen here is for everybody in the Eric Bieniemy camp,
mm-hmm.
You know, this gives him a chance to kind of audition for this thing.
Okay.
With a quarterback that can maybe make the throws that he's looking for. And, mm-hmm. You know, and it also gives Jacoby Brissett a chance too to audition because, let's face it, I think right now, you know, Wole, there's a chance that this team could take a quarterback. If Caleb Williams is sitting there at three, you have to take him.
Of course. I mean, you got to.
You know, weird or not, you got to take him.
You got to. you got to.
And I think if that's the case, who's better equipped to help this young guy? It would be Jacoby Brissett. And you wouldn't have to force Caleb Williams in there either. You could have him learn under Jacoby Brissett. But that's only if things look okay over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, so for you, what was your big issue with Sam? I mean, obviously, you know, did you think there was a rookie wall? Do you think that, you know, the hits played a part? Or it was just, you know, maybe seeing the level of defense he saw in that stretch of games?
Well, I think he's been asked to do a little too much.
Okay.
You know, they're asking him to be Superman, and that's not his game. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he had stretches, you know, in the early part of the season, especially during the middle of the campaign, where he was making all the throws. He looked confident. He looked comfortable. But you know, and you can't put all of it on the offensive line. Yes, the offensive line's been poor all year long. Sam Cosmi's had a great year.
Oh, yeah, he's been really good.
He's had a Pro Bowl caliber year. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, it's been up and down. I think Tyler Lawson has played well, too, since he's mm-hmm. been moved in at center. But you know, they're devoid of a lot of pieces up front. And when you have a quarterback that's constantly getting sacked, you and I talked about this earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. He was going to be gunshot by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And that's how he looks right now. And it's apparent that he's mentally struggling right now. You know, he's mm-hmm. lost his confidence. But I think the only way you get out of that is you got to play.
Yeah, that's it. I guess my thing, I mean, I get it. You know, I understand you because you're not just playing, you know, for one person. You're playing for a team. So I understand, like, you have two games in a row where Jacoby was moving the football. But to your point, it's like, what are you playing for, right? Like, you got a young dude, these last two games of the season, just let him play those two games out. Because at the end of the day, you still want to see what he's about. Like, you're going against the Dallas Cowboys, you're going against the Niners. We're going against the Niners this week and the last game of the season, you're going against the Cowboys. And then maybe playing for something. So, like, you at least now you get to test that young dude and see if he's really ready for it or not. You know what I mean? Like, or if he can bounce back.
Well, see, I think what it is, honestly, is I think they feel like they've seen enough.
Gotcha. And
they haven't seen, you know, enough from Jacoby Brissett.
Interesting.
And now you're giving him a chance to prove what he can do in Eric Bieniemy's system mm-hmm. against two really good defenses. And like I said, if Washington were to, you know, I don't want to use the word win, but if they were to play well, you know.
Why do you always use the word? Why you don't want
to? I mean, man, listen, man. You know, at the end of the day, we've seen some bad teams here. And when you get a chance to get one of them top picks, you got you want to see it. You know,
I think
no one goes out to play to lose, but damn. I mean, you've gone this far. And now
you might as well go all the way, right? You might as well go all the way.
You know, come on, man.
You might as well go all in. Don't put your pinky in it. Put your whole freaking foot in it, right?
That's what I mean. I could have been doing this a long time ago, seriously. I don't know if this directive was given out from up top, but it sure reeks of that.
Doesn't it?
It does. It sure reeks of, look, we need to see what we have. We're not going to fire Ron. I think they gave him their word. They're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But with that said, we still have to evaluate some people that – we may be thinking about having her next year. And obviously Ron's not one of them. I don't see that, but I do think Jacoby Brissett and Eric Bieniemy could be, you know, possibly two guys that could be retained.
Yeah, Master, that's a good point. What did I eat? Cook said great point about EB's offense, possibly shining with EB. Also said, not win, compete. That's good. That's a good point. Yeah.
Look good, but I mean, people were like, I mean, but you know what? Like last week, well, everyone was saying, oh man, you know, they competed. I had tweeted out in the second quarter. They looked like they were ready to go home. They looked like they didn't even get off.
Right. Are you talking? Yeah. I agree. I thought they quit that first half. They quit.
So then, you know, make a little comeback when Jacoby comes in. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody saw that coming, but before people start, you know, honking the horns and saying that they competed and they played hard, you do realize the Jets are a train wreck as well, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like their defense is good. I think their defense is legit. I totally believe their defense is legit. But to your point, it's like, come on now. Like that offensive side of the ball is like it's horrible. Bad. It's bad.
They hung 30 on them. So
yeah. So yeah. So I mean, let you know about what's going on here, right?
It does. Also,
so I guess like for me, we're talking about it, like, you know, draft status, right? And we're talking, and like, I feel like we can only go from the body of work we've seen over these last stretch of games, right? And Brissett looks like he gives him a better chance to win games now. So I'm like, do you really want to put that out there? If you really want to get, say, a Caleb May or old boy from Penn State or Marvin Harrison Jr., you got guys right there that at the three spot. Yeah, I know, but. Yeah,
but they're guaranteed to get at least one.
That's what I'm saying. I agree.
I mean, let's be honest here, man. Let's just come on, man. Yes, you my brother. Let's call it like this. Yeah. They're not winning Sunday.
They're not. Exactly. Doesn't matter.
They're not winning Sunday. You want to say, okay, maybe they might get the Cowboys last game. Okay, maybe. But I personally feel like both these teams coming to town over the next 2 weeks are going to play their people because listen, that loss San Francisco had last week against the Ravens, they got beat down.
They man. And
that defense was manhandled. Mm-hmm. So they have something, they got to get their mojo back too. You know, the Eagles look a little shoddy. So the Cowboys still have something to play for.
Yeah.
You know, and let's face it, the Cowboys know if they have to do all the playoffs on the road, they're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So they're going to still play and hope and pray that the Eagles in front of them somehow stumble over their last two against the Cardinals and the Giants. Giants almost had them on Sunday. What makes you think that they can't get them up in New York in 2 weeks? So the Cardinals play tough. They almost had Chicago. So. Yeah. I just think that Washington's going to get two teams that are really going to compete and try to, you know, do what they have to do to increase their standings in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So with that said, I tweeted this out earlier. Mm-hmm. I don't think they wanted Sam Howell to go up against those two defenses in the fragile state.
Don't think so either.
Because I tweeted out myself, it could have been some bad things happening to him.
I agree. I think that's it's a bad recipe to what you're saying, to your point. Mm-hmm. You got dominated by the Ravens. You're looking for get back. And this game, we'll get to it later though. But that game has so many factors that can go left. It's so many additional factors. You have like what you're saying, late, like you want get back because you got embarrassed on prime time by the Baltimore Ravens. That's just one. Then secondly, you have three dudes who are always on get back when they play this organization. They will always be on get back when they play this organization. You got always. Two, and you got one dude. One is fresh, and two who's two definitely always don't get back. So that chemistry, that little concoction mixed up could be a recipe for disaster. So I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I mean they've got their work cut out for them, and you know people are scared. I mean I'll be honest with you. Fan base right now, you hear people like, "What are they doing? No, you know, let Sam play because they knew they had no shot with him playing at that point." So. Yeah. With Jacoby, I don't necessarily think it's about them trying to steal wins. Yeah. I think it's that they're trying to evaluate him as a potential starter, an early 2024 starter, if they are going to draft a quarterback, you know, or if they're going to bring Sam back. You know, maybe they're saying the kid needs a little bit more time. I don't see that being the case. You normally don't play a guy, you know, for 14, 15 games and then all of a sudden decide he needs to sit the next year.
Yeah. So it goes to my next question. And so, I mean, thank you pretty much answered it. So did that game pretty much in-house chances of being the future quarterback for the Commanders? The Jets game.
You know, it's just hard to say, man, because – you don't know who they're going to bring in him, first of all, as a GM or a coach.
True.
These guys could be guys that evaluated Sam Howell when he was in North Carolina. And I mean, the first go-around of Sam Howell in North Carolina, when people thought he was a first-rounder, as opposed to the fifth-rounder he was by after his senior year. So maybe somebody comes in here and they really like him, and they feel like if they can put up a really good line in front of him and tweak the offense a little bit, you know, get a little bit more run run-centric in there, you know, I think that, you know, he's a player. I do. I think he's shown that he can play at a high level, but the mistakes and the turnovers and the sacks, things that kind of followed him from North Carolina, he still has a propensity to hold on to the football too long. That's what he did in college, and that kind of knocked his draft grade down. But it's just hard to say, man. I just know that 2 years ago, Caleb Williams, when he won the Heisman Trophy, everyone was like, this guy's Patrick Mahomes too.
Bruh, yes. Everyone,
you know, I know he's 6'1", and, you know, he's a little different. But listen, man, new ownership group, new GM, new coach coming in, and they're trying to put together a new franchise, and you need that face.
Yeah.
And this kid's from D.C., went to Gonzaga, like I said, Heisman Trophy winner with some cachet coming from L.A. Yeah,
like PG County, too. That's what.
Yeah. Listen, man, I ain't going to lie, man. Personally,
I don't want to go here.
Chocolate City is tough, and it's not Chocolate City anymore.
Yeah, yeah, we don't know what time it is.
Poker City.
Yeah, we know what it is.
Yeah. World up. But with that said, guys don't do well who are from here when they come back here.
I agree. And I don't like, and this is art. So I've had this, I had this discussion on X, and I was like, I don't want him to come here. And it's not even off of like him as a player. It's, I just think that, all right, for I'm gonna be real. Like, this is what my issue with Sam, but like the, how we judge Sam bothers me, because he is a rookie. And if you told any rookie, it's like any rookie the year that he had, that is good enough to say, oh, you're my starter next year for a rookie. To be real with you, rookies don't typically come in and blow like the season away. Stroud is an anomaly, just like RG3, his rookie year was an anomaly. Andrew Luck was an anomaly. That doesn't typically happen. And I'll even add this caveat into it. Typically, like, you're asking a first, forget round, you're asking a rookie to carry your whole franchise, meaning he doesn't have a good he has the last place defense. He has a bad offensive line. You're asking a rookie to mask all of that. That is tough for any rookie, right? Period. So I said on X, dog, if they have a similar situation, hopefully the brass will bring in more better talent for this rookie. But there's a similar situation when you have the last place defense, a piss poor offensive line, and he puts up Sam Howell numbers, which again to me would be good. This time we'll turn on him, and I don't need him. I don't want that for him.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say, it's not everyone, but there are some fans that are just there's nothing you can do that's going to make them happy, except win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And most of them have never seen that. No, most of them have never even seen them in a playoff game. So, you know, it's just it's difficult because it is a new ownership group. You know, be happy that there's no more Dan Snyder, for one. Be happy that this guy is going to have a plan in play. Now you'll be able to see what Josh Harris and his group's going to do going forward. Clearly, they had a plan in play that they weren't going to fire Ron Rivera. So, again, I don't know if that was a league directive, because I know Ron Rivera is respected by a lot of people, part of old guard he is. And maybe people just said, you know, let him ride this thing out, because when we brought him in here, you know, he did what he was supposed to do as far as the professionalism to the organization. But Ron Rivera has never been mistaken as a Hall of Fame head coach.
Not at all.
Those are the problems that have found him now. And it's time, obviously, for them to correct that and bring in someone new. But I just think that we have to see what these guys are going to do. We can't make any knee-jerk reactions or overdo it. And I think that's why a lot of us in the media haven't crucified the decision not to fire Ron. I've been saying he should have been fired. I've flat out been saying it. I don't mix words there.
I know you don't. I know you don't.
I thought he should have been gone a long time ago.
But
they decided to keep him. And I can I clearly can understand why. But I just think you didn't give yourself a chance to assess some things that you needed to see for next year, for whoever's coming in. Mm-hmm. And now maybe they feel like these last 2 weeks of the season will be the assessments of the enemy, Jacoby Brissett, and to see who else wants to be there, who else is going to compete and not lay down and get ran over.
Yeah, because they're definitely not competing. On our poll, we talked about, is this it for Sam? Actually, I don't have my poll up there. That's the wrong poll. I'll find it later. I'll find it later. So you did say something interesting in terms, I'm going to go back to, in terms of EB. So do you think that, because, you know, EB's perception is, he has a negative perception, which I don't like either. But there is a negative perception about his play calling, right? To a point, even sometimes he has to defend himself, saying, like, you know, I've called plays in Kansas City. Folks have acted like he hasn't called plays. He said it out there. I've called plays in Kansas City. Like, this is not my first year calling plays. But anyway, right. You know, he called plays for a Super Bowl winner, and people still complain. Right. So do you think Brissett's play could change that image, right? That negative image that people out there are saying, like, oh, he can't call plays. His play design is not what it is, or whatever. Do you think he can change that perception? Brissett can change that perception.
No. And I'm going to say it. Reason being is because the ones of us who know that the guy can call a game, nothing's going to change that. I mean, Kansas City's offense has struggled this year. And don't think for a hot second, Eric Bieniemy not being there, it doesn't matter. Of course it does. Continuity was broken. Understand, like you said, Eric Bieniemy is coaching a rookie quarterback pretty much with the worst offensive line in football. Okay.
Yep. I don't care. Yeah, that's worse than me.
With bad coaching to go along with it across the board.
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst defenses in football, which means that, again, you can't establish the run when you're always down 10, 12, you know, 14 points.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do that. And then on top of that, let's just call it like it is. Kansas City didn't run the football a lot. You know, during these Super Bowl runs over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years with Patrick Mahomes, it was Patrick Mahomes throwing for over 4,000 yards. Mm-hmm. They weren't lining up 1,000-yard running backs left and right. It wasn't like that. It was running back by committee. It wasn't until last year they stumbled upon the kid from Rutgers, the rookie. Now he's in the second year, Pacheco.
And,
you know, he kind of came in and gave him more physical running, him and Clyde Helaire. Before that, they weren't lining up guys. It wasn't back in the day with, Charles. You know, it wasn't, what was it?
Jamal Charles?
Jamal Charles. You know,
yeah, Jamal Charles.
That was a long time ago. That's pre-Patrick, you know? So, again, Eric wasn't expected to come in here and have Brian Robinson running the ball 30 times a game. That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, we have actually a comment. Darian Payne said, bring in Ben Johnson, keep EB, and they can work together with the offense. Do you agree with that?
I think they're a little different.
But go ahead.
Darian, you know, that's a fair thing to say, but I don't think you do that. Listen, man, you know, you don't want to start off the new regime by saying, we want to hire this person to come in as our offensive coordinator or our head coach, and we want to retain this person and that person.
Because that's
the problem in the first place. That's why they're in the situations they are in the first place. If you're going to do it and you're going to do it right, you hire a GM first and you let him or her pick whoever they're going to have running their team and let your coach bring his staff in. You know, that's just how it goes.
What about, he has a draft pick. One of my friends likes this dude too. Draft Penix with our second round pick from the Bears. Do you like that?
Listen, I've been on Michael Penix since Indiana.
So all y'all like Michael Penix. This is crazy.
Yeah. I'm a big Ten guy. Man.
I know. I am too. But go ahead.
So that guy broke our hearts a couple years ago up in State College with that dive. He wasn't in. He was down, but still they gave it to him. But, you know, I've seen him for a while. Only problem with Michael Penix, and hopefully it's not a problem going forward for the young man, is that he's had a history of injuries, you know, multiple ACL tears. So, you know, he seems like, you know, going to Washington's, you know, kind of rejuvenated him and got him back on track to be a nice draft pick.
Right.
Got a weird throwing motion that I think some teams may be a little leery about, but the guy can sling the ball and he's a competitor and he's big, you know. So, But let's just say this, because a lot of people are saying perhaps you can get a Bo Nix or a Penix in the second round. Listen, you quarterback, there's a reason why Sam Howell was a fifth rounder, you know, and everybody's not Tom Brady. That's just not how it works, you know, or Dak Prescott for that matter, a fourth round.
Kirk Cousins.
You have a chance to take a quarterback in the top two or three picks. That guy's supposed to come in and hit the ground running. True. And I think that they have a legitimate chance to say, hey, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Daniels, the kid Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner. They're all, they all have a chance to just say who's the better of the three, because they're sitting right there. Me personally, I'm taking the left tackle from my school. That's just you have to. You got to build this
line. Over Daniels, I'll say that much. Over Daniels, yes. Of the other two quarterbacks, I'm fair to say that I would take the two quarterbacks. But if I'm not taking Daniels over to Penn State, or Marvin. I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. They don't great. He ain't better than them two. He ain't better than them two.
Marvin Harrison might be. He might be the best player in the draft.
He might be. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I don't think he's officially declared yet.
Yeah, not yet. Because, you know, the NIL type of thing. But, you know, I think he's going to. I think he's playing around.
He's coming out.
He's coming out. Hey, my man Brandon Scott said, could Tomlin and EB coexist?
Could Tomlin do what?
Mike Tomlin and EB coexist.
Of course they could, but that's never going to happen because Pittsburgh's not getting rid of Mike Tomlin. So everybody keeps saying Mike Tomlin, it's not happening. And he would have to leave Pittsburgh. They're not getting rid of him. And I just don't see that happening. He doesn't strike me as the type of coach that you know, doesn't finish what he starts. And he's already got a Super Bowl, but you saw them have a big win against Cincinnati last week. Yeah. And they just kind of had that bounce again defensively. So Pittsburgh could be a scary team, if they can sneak into the playoffs.
Definitely. All right, so real quick, let me ask this one, then we go to San Francisco name. My man George said, what you guys think about if we draft Joe Milton later in the draft from Tennessee?
Joe Milton checks all the intent, all the features, and you know he's a big dude, big arm. But there were some times I saw him not make, you know, passes that most elite quarterbacks should make. Mm-hmm. You know, he did do some good stuff at Tennessee. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, definitely.
But he's not Anthony Richardson. I don't see that. I know people are trying to make comparisons. Anthony Richardson is just a freak, man. And I think if he got the right coaching, he could do it. See, the problem is if you were to take a guy like Joe Milton, now you're going to be waiting forever to get him to caught up. You could be a full level. Year or two.
Yeah.
This franchise doesn't have that kind of time. They just don't. I know people are saying they're going to be in a full rebuild. There's no such thing anymore in the NFL. You can win overnight if you get the right coaches and personnel guys and players.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree with that. So the San Fran game. So for you, like, I mean, you know, there's so many elements in. You got Chase coming back. You got Trent Williams, Kyle Shanahan, a little salty how they treat his, how they did his dad. You know, so this is a concoction for some damage, some true damage. To be honest with you. So, you know, San Fran has kind of been I'm not going to lie. They've been real slight with Chase's, you know, his snaps. Do you think this is the game? Like, they're like, you know what? Go ahead, big fella. Go all in. We're going to give you as many snaps you can to kind of make an impact. And do you think they'll make this like a homecoming game for Chase? You know what I mean? Like how certain teams, you know, you're seeing this team, this opposition that may be weaker. That's one. Secondly, you do have – you have incentive because what happened while you were here in DC. Do you think will San Fran make this like the Chase game?
Oh no, trust me. You know, Trent, that's my guy, you know. Mm-hmm. So keep in mind, this is Trent's first game too.
Yeah, that's it back. Yeah, his first game back you're right. Trent's
first game back too. And believe me, he and Chase have talked about it. I believe Kyle has talked about it.
Too. I know Kyle. I know all three of them.
Yeah, of course they do. It's personal. They're going to take this personal. And coming off of a bad loss, you know, they're trying to get right. And but with Chase, there's probably a little bit more venom in him because he was just there this year. He's his guys. He he went to battle with, and kind of was unceremoniously traded, you know. Mm-hmm. So basically, he was traded for some Slim Jims, and I think you know,
so true
for him to be the number two pick in the draft, and that's what you got for him, and that's all you probably could get for him. That's bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's probably trying to come in here and get a sack or two and disrupt some things for Jacoby Brissett.
All right, so like, give me a prediction. What do you think the score is going to be? Not wins. We already know what's going to happen. That the win loss thing, that doesn't matter. Give me a prediction of the score.
Yeah, you know, I've just gotten to the point now where, you know, I just got to be strictly media here and not the kid from DC.
Man. I got you, bro.
Because for far too long, I'm like, these guys are going to compete. They're going to keep it close. They're not getting blown out, but they're going to lose.
Yeah.
They're going to get blown out. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be negative and
positive. No, I know you're being real.
I just think that if the 49ers had beat Baltimore, then I could probably see a game where maybe they sleepwalk a little bit and the score is within 10 points at the end of the game. Nah, man, not this time. The only thing that can save San Fran is if it's snowing or raining and to slow it down. That's it. I mean, that's the only thing that can save the Commanders from San Fran. I'm thinking we're probably looking at a score. It's going to be like 27-10, maybe 31-10, San Fran.
Oh, man, you nice. That's what's up. I thought I haven't gotten 40. That's what's up, man. I haven't gotten 40.
Like, it could get there.
I don't think no one check a Debo, so no one's tackling.
Listen, Debo. if they were to beat San Fran, it would be so Washington, man.
It would
beat true. A team you have no business beating, and now you know ruined your draft status. I mean, it would be so Washington. Yeah. Fortunately for fans out there, I'm pretty confident in telling y'all this. It's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, I don't think that Washington stuff is going to happen for this week. Dude, you know you dirty. 42-13? I mean, I had it 40. I had 40, but you dirty.
I thought I was trying to show a little love.
I know Dujane dirty is on the one.
Flat out disrespectful.
I know. I'm about to say, dang, Dujane.
DJ thinking they coming in here, you know, with man, the handcuffs like, ready.
I know it's gonna be a 49ers home field advantage, but dang, you ain't had to go that hard. Hey, Valet, thanks for being on. Before I let you go, man, how can our listeners catch your content and catch you on social media?
I appreciate it, as always, my friend. Yeah, you can check me out on Twitter at Lake Lewis and on Instagram and Facebook at Lake Lewis Jr. You can obviously go to sportsjourney.com. Check out myself, DJ, who just popped up in the chat. You know, he's doing some great stuff with us as well. So, yeah, you can go there and check us out. And then, you know, every now and then you see me pop up on WJLA as an insider for them. So, yeah, man, we're going to see what happens this weekend, but I'm just ready for this thing to be over so we can just get into next year and start doing some good stuff, man.
Yeah, that's when the all season. I'm sick of this team. I've been sick of this team since midpoint. Since the Bears game, I've been sick of this team. I'm not going to lie. All right, Lake, thanks. I appreciate you, man.
All right, my friend. Good seeing you, bro.
Happy holidays to you, my man. Definitely.
Absolutely. All right, man.
Again, yeah, that's Lake Lewis Jr., man. So make sure you follow Lake on X. Yes, X at Lake Lewis. Also on IG at Lake Lewis Jr. All right, it's time to talk Wizards, man. Like, I'm watching this Wizards game, talking to Lake at the same time, trying to see the score of this game. You know, since I do a little radio, I do a little media too sometimes for the Wizards. Right now, let me introduce my next guest. Right now, we have host of Locked On Wizards podcast, Brandon Scott, on the show. Brandon, welcome back to the urban sports scene, my man.
What's good, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm good. Like, you know, I feel good. I mean, I'm talking Commanders, not feeling that good about this team. But, the Wizards, I felt like they were fighting. Like, one thing I'll say about the Wizards over these last stretch, since the Pacers win, right? The Pacers win, I felt like, you know, as a team, now you're not getting, like, wins and losses in terms of, like, the results or haven't been what they probably wanted. But I feel like they're fighting more, and they're playing a better brand of basketball.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're definitely fighting more, man, across the board.
Well, I mean, you did that.
Like that.
I like that.
I mean, if you look at this, man, I mean, a lot of the vets know what it is, man. You know, yeah. I mean, they know the deadline's coming up. A lot of them are fighting for that next bag or the next opportunity. Like you said, man, I talked to Landry Shamet at Shoot Around, man, Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, look, man, what's your mind frame? You know, the deadline's coming up. Are you kind of in the moment? or you think about the deadline. And he's like, look, man, I've been traded before. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if I, you know, if I get moved, I get moved, man. But so, you know, the best thing, yeah, man, he's honest. You know, his business. Yeah. You know, he know, a lot of them know that, you know, look, it can happen. You know, this is a rebuilding team. Especially if you look at guys like Gaff. I mean, yeah, he's an extension, man. But you got to look at this team like everybody's tradable except for Blau. Everybody.
I agree. See, thank you. Thank you for saying that. I totally agree. Everybody's tradable except for Blau. I am with you. All right, so I came here because, I want to talk about this because this is a topic that it just hit me. I was like, I was covering the game, and I saw the play, and then I was watching the West Coast trip, and I was like, okay, like, oh, boy, hot. Like, you know what I mean? Oh, boy, and I'm talking about Tyus Jones. He's Tyus Jones is hot. Like, he's playing some good basketball. And we'll talk about in terms of draft what that – I mean, trades – what that can do for the Wizards. But last night, Jordan Poole dropped 30, probably his second best game, I think, in terms of efficiency to me. Against the Orlando Magic, they lost to the Magic 127-119. His teammate mentioned Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones had 20 points in the same game. Right now, the Wizards are down to the Raptors. I think they were last time I checked, they were down 13. I could be wrong. Both players were acquired in the offseason. In your opinion, who has been the better offseason pickup, Tyus Jones or Jordan Poole?
Ooh, good question, man. Right now, it is Tyus Jones. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this, man. It's getting a little more even the more that Jordan Poole, he's starting to lock in. Yeah. He's starting to lock in, man. But mm-hmm. Tyus Jones, you know, he came in replacing Monte Morris. You know, he's been that floor general for us, man. Yeah. You know, we said it before, man. You know, Monte did his job, but was he the long-term answer? Nah. Looking at Tyus, man, you know, Tyus came in. He's that floor general we needed. You know, his assist numbers are right where I want him to be. You know, that floater is money. I mean, he's shooting high percentage shots. I mean, that floater is unstoppable, man.
Yeah, it's wild because he's had, and like I said this to him, because I saw him, I talked to him, we had like this discussion, and I said, like, dude, you've been doing this since like Duke. Like, you have the floater. Like, it's what I told him, like, shoot it. Like, I don't know why you're not, I'm being real, I was aggressive, like, bro, shoot it. Yeah. Like, you act like you're, like, I know this is a new team, but shoot it. Like, that's your shot. Like, that's your shot. Like, that's an unstoppable shot for you. But yeah, go on.
No, I mean, you with it, man. I mean, that shot is money. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been playing some good basketball. He's exactly what this team needed at the point guard position because, I mean, getting to Jordan Poole, is he ready to be that guy at point guard yet? Nah, he's not ready yet. Obviously, he has some things to work on, shooting low percentage shots, you know, turnovers, stuff like that. But I say that they're getting closer because, you know, the more that Jordan Poole locks in, he's starting to lock in. The biggest thing, man, is he had to acclimate to being in D.C. You know, you come over from a team who is a championship contender where, you know, absolutely. Because, you know, a lot of these, you know, these moments were, you know, immature moments, you can call them. They were kind of shielded in Golden State because you had that, you know, that veteran leadership. Whereas here, he's the guy. You know, him and Kyle Kuzma, you know, they're the duo. So, you know, he's more upfront. So when he does these things, everybody sees it. And now it's, you know. But he's starting to lock in, man. I'm telling you right now, you know, look at him in the practice, man. He's locking in. You can see the performances. He has some things to work on. I mean, he needs both him and Kuz, they got to utilize that shot clock, man. I mean, you know, 3-4 seconds in the shot clock, they're launching it, man. They got to work on that. Shooting a lot more hops in the shots. You know, they've got to learn to use the personnel around them. You know, they cannot feel compelled to play hero ball every time down the court. So
I had a poll out there. Who's been the better offseason acquisition? 86% Jones, and 14% had Poole. So to me, it's I've been pro Tyus Jones. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. So I'm biased. I just feel like, you know, to your point, they just play he played the smarter brand of basketball, which I just like. Golden State, they, like you said, it's a different style of basketball. Yeah. But you got two dudes. You have a brand though, right? Mm-hmm. Steph, Draymond, Clay, that's a brand, and they've been doing it at a high level. And yes, you helped them win the championship, but they are the institution though. And so when you try to bring a Golden State style of play to another team, like that free ball, shooting the ball anywhere type of game, you don't have Steph, you don't have Clay. You don't have Draymond. Like, you have a team that's bad, right? So you're doing that stuff with a bad team. It don't work the same. It don't work the same. You got to play a different brand of basketball. It works in Golden State, obviously, but it won't work here in DC. So I just didn't like, for me, the problem I had with him is more of a just like winning basketball. Like, I just can't stand, like, taking, like you said, taking a one-legged three-point shot when you're, you know what I mean, things like that, or just like chucking up a three off, try to make it off the backboard, like falling away from the falling on the baseline. Like, nah, that's not good in no style of play. Nah. Like, shoot, even Steph don't shoot stuff like that. So to a point of like, I know he feels that he's probably on a bad team and he can do whatever he wants, but that doesn't, you're still setting an example for the young dudes. And especially, and also you're sending like other players who, like a Corey Kispert, is looking at you like, bro, you playing over me doing this junk? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm serious. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, players talk amongst themselves. You like, this is what they paid. Like, because if this is who they paid $100+ million to get, they look at you. They looking at you strange. Bilal don't know any better. He just happened to be in the States. So he don't know no better. So Bilal cool with him, but that don't mean nothing. Bilal just happened to be in the States. My man Jay, he hit us up on X, said, Poole will be better long-term, but Tyus is suddenly playing well enough to get you a first rounder. Do you think Tyus can get them a first rounder?
I think it is definitely something that could be attainable this offseason, man. Or not offseason, but at the deadline.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at Houston. Houston's one team that's rumored to be looking at Tyus Jones, man, because look, he's proven that he can spot start. Now, is Tyus Jones necessarily an answer for an organization as the guy point guard going forward? It's remaining to be seen. But he's always been the best backup point guard in the NBA. And, his play with the Wizards has really showcased what he can do. I mean, if you need a guy who's going to come in and who doesn't necessarily need the ball in his hands, who can be that guy that the floor general is going to set people up, then, Tyus Jones is your guy. You know, he's been that floor general that we needed for this team. You know, he sent a lot of guys up. So Houston, to me, would be a team to look out for. Another sleeper, the Lakers, man. The Lakers might be a destination in itself.
Oh, yeah, we would love it. I'm a Lakers fan. So, yeah, that would be good. I would take Tyus.
Yeah, man, Lakers would definitely be a target.
D-Lo, get him out of here. Did y'all want D-Lo? Y'all can have D-Lo.
No, man.
I mean, he fit. There's a freestyle and get take squad. He fit. The Wizards, though, like, they got Kuz. I mean, yeah, Kuz. I don't know, man.
he gonna have to fit somewhere else, man.
Cool Pools and D-Lo? Oh, man. Dog, hey, the entertainment. I'm just alone. The Shaq in the full moments would be great. I'm just saying.
Man, can you imagine D-Lo and Jordan Poole, launching them?
Hey, I'm just saying. What, if you told me Tyus to L.A., I'm like, yo, y'all can have D-Lo. Shoot. Talking about bad shot takers, that'd be the all-time worst shot taking squad, period, in life.
Sorry. Man, they'd be on Shaq in the Fool every day.
They would be subscribed to that every day. But yeah, I guess that. So I got my second question. My second question is: Who would bring you more? Would it be a Tyus or a Jordan Poole? If you had to trade either or, who would bring you more? Who would bring you more back?
Right now, Tyus, easy because
wild to me. Ain't that funny though? Real talk, ain't that funny? Yeah. I agree with you, but ain't that funny though? Like, if you ask folks before the season when they made the trade, he gonna score. Oh, he going to Wizards. Yeah. He gonna score. He gonna fry. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's not. I expected him to shoot the ball a lot. That doesn't bother me, but that's still like the amount of shots he takes. I expected him to be a little, not to say be efficient, because you don't have to be efficient, but to at least have a common sense basketball game with the process, because you are coming from a championship squad. Like, there is levels to this, and you're playing with Steph. Like, Steph shoots some wild shots, but it's different though, like, because Steph has that consistency, right? And also, I would say that they're not as wild as Jordan Poole. They're not as wild. Because they're still in control for Steph. They're in control. Like, Jordan Poole looks out of control when he's shooting these shots sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, but it amazes me that, like, because I thought about that when I came up with that question. It was like, dude, I mean, Jordan Poole's a younger dude.
Yeah.
He's a dude that, he was averaging 20 points with Golden State coming off the bench. Like, so he would be a guy that you would kind of think like, all right, and he's still like I said, relatively young. You would think he would be a guy that would get more, but overhearing some folks like aren't interested in trading for him or whatnot. To your point, it's crazy that Tyus Jones would probably bring you more back if you traded him.
Well, I mean, in hindsight, you got to look at the trade differently now, right? Yeah. At first, it's like, okay, we're acquiring a guy who's still young, hasn't hit his prime yet. He's putting up big numbers on the championship team, but now it's like, okay, I can see why they were, so willing to give him up. It's because, the maturity factor,
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to, I say this, man, it's frustrating watching him. But you know, this thing, he's got to acclimate to who, where he's at. You know, he's not in Golden State anymore. It's kind of like you guys were talking about Commanders. You know, it's like Eric Bieniemy needs to realize he's in Washington, not Kansas City no more. True. It's kind of like, you know, it's Jordan Poole. And like, once he figures out where he's at and what he needs to do, because right now, you best believe both the organization and Jordan Poole both know that, look, he's got to bring his value up if we want to move him. Because at first, he thought he was going to be the guy. And that organization said, hold up, man. Look, you know, we like you, but we're going to flip you. So, but right now, who's going to trade for him? Because with all those issues, you know, and that contract, you're not going to pay that guy just to be able to, you know, 3 seconds in the shot clock launching the ball. You know, it behooves both parties to get his value up. Now, if I'm the GM, I'm going to be transparent with him, man. I'm going to be like, look, man, if you don't want to be in DC long term, help us get your value up and then we will flip you. You know, and go from there.
Yeah. Why do I think that's happening?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm telling you right now,
That's happening. I think that's actually happening, to be honest with you. I felt like it was happening. For instance, in my opinion, it was happening. I forgot which game because I was there. Mm. It was the game that Tyus had, like, and I'm not just, I'm being real, like, because they played Jordan the whole fourth and Tyus didn't see the court at all. And Tyus had like 18 within three quarters, had 18 and didn't play a single fourth quarter. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. It's just Jordan. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then he said he wanted, and I remember coach was like, he wanted to give, pull some momentum, he started to feel a little good or whatever. But I was thinking to myself, to your point, what you're just saying now, it's like, okay, you know what? Maybe they're just trying to raise the stock. Because in terms of coaching basketball, if someone has 18 and three quarters, they're going to play in the fourth.
Yeah.
They're going to. I don't care what kind of defense they're playing. They're going to play in the fourth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, man, I mean, cause y'all, bro.
No, you're good.
Everybody on this team is tradable outside Blau. I think that is kind of the MO with the front office right now because, look, they're looking at two examples, Oklahoma City, obviously, and Orlando. If you look at Orlando, you know, the fact that they've hit on their draft picks, Franz Wagner, man, at 6'10", and him being a two-way player, I mean, he is a sniper. I mean, you look at Paolo, I mean, the list goes on. I mean, the thousands of guards they have in Orlando, but I mean, you got to hit through draft picks. And when it comes time to make that one or two moves to solidify your team for contention, they're going to make it. So they're going to take their time. But I mean, there's a lot of people being shopped. I mean, the Knicks right now losing Mitchell Robinson for the year. They're looking at Daniel Gafford right now. You know, Daniel Gafford is definitely a target for them. Tyus in Houston, you know, Kuz is going to command. Laurie Marketing, bro, they want five first rounders for Laurie Marketing right now. So realistically, could we maybe get a couple of picks for Kuz? It's a possibility. I mean,
Markkanen's like an all-star too, though.
Yeah, but I mean, Markkanen to me is more of a role guy. He's not a guy where he's like.
Oh, I like Markkanen. I'm sorry.
No.
I'll take him to LA too.
I'm with you, man. I'm a big fan of Laurie Markkanen, man. Yeah, but it's like
I know what you're saying.
He's not exactly a guy where it's like, all right, here's the ball.
You talking about he ain't a superstar? I know what you're talking about. He on a bad. I get exactly what you're talking about. Like he shouldn't be world. Like those type of picks are warranted for a, like you get all those first round picks. It's for like an Anthony Davis or I know you're talking about like the player of that caliber. No, I totally agree with you. You're right.
But then it also shows how much the NBA right now values role guys. Yeah. You know, Rudy Gobert, man. I mean, he's not necessarily a guy you build around, but he just fit just right. I mean, look at Minnesota. I'm just saying.
That's a perfect fit though. Like I agree. That was a perfect fit because Cat doesn't have to play the five. He can play the four. I thought it was a perfect fit, to be honest with you. But so what about, I know we talked about Detroit. What about trying to get Ivy out of Detroit? Would you trade like to Kentucky's get Ivy out of Detroit? I mean, Monty, I love you, man. You DMV, man. I had you on the show one time. Monty, you're awesome. But you ain't playing my guys. I ain't going to lie to you, Monty. That's something that's bothering me. You're not playing any of my dudes. Like, you're not playing my man Wiseman. You ain't playing my man Ivy. It's like you got something against me, personally. I feel like you going against me. You ain't playing my guys. These are dudes that I really, really like. And I thought they was going to fry this year. I know you like KK. It's cool. Cade's cool. I know you want to make Cade's team. But shoot, man. Like, play my guys. So, Ivy? What about Ivy?
Ivy, man, would be a nice addition to NBC, man. But, I mean, fit-wise, would he fit in the same backcourt with Jordan Poole?
I mean, he ain't going to be here that long. That's why I said Ivy.
Yeah. I mean, it's intriguing, man, because I mean, why not if you're Detroit? I mean, you set the record, so
you're not winning nothing anytime.
No time.
You definitely, lottery, whatever, but you should be getting the first pick overall. So, I mean.
No, they definitely getting the first pick.
Yeah, like they making it happen.
I mean, to me, man, why not take a chance on Wiseman and Bagley? I mean, I know Wiseman hasn't
like really those played. Two.
Because, I mean, look, we know that they have ways to go. They need to be developed, but why not? That's where we're about right now. We're trying to develop young guys.
Would you trade for those, though? Because you wouldn't need it. You wouldn't have to trade a player.
No.
You could throw a player just to throw one, but not like a real good player. You could throw in. Who would you trade to get Wiseman?
I would throw a veteran aspiring deal and a young guy, Johnny Davis and
perfect. I could definitely get you Wiseman because they don't want to play. Yeah, that for real. I mean, because his stock has been low because Monty has dragged it. So yeah, no, that's a good one. Yeah, they can definitely take. They could take him. They could take. I feel bad for that kid. the one for the Wizards, not Wiseman. I feel bad for Wiseman. I feel bad for the one from Wisconsin. The Wisconsin kid. What's his name?
Johnny Davis.
I feel bad for Johnny Davis, man. Like, I thought it was a bad, I ain't gonna lie to you. I thought it was a bad pick when it came out, when it happened. But I was like, damn. But I watched him play. I felt real bad for him. Cause I know, I mean, cause I coach ball. I know when a player loses his confidence. Like, I know like they're defeated mentally. And I hope he gets some type of swag back. Because at the end of the day, I've always said this, every pro, I know a lot of people want to crap on pro basketball players, say somebody garbage. One, that dude would dog the crap out of you if he played you one-on-one. So don't ever say that shit. I always tell folks that, like, don't ever say that because that person would dog the shit out of you. Secondly, like he scored average about 21 year in Wisconsin. So he has the capability of being a scorer. It's just that he has to find that edge, that swag. He got to find it. And it's been gone. I mean, for whatever reason, he's lost it here. He just has to get it back. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I see it. And I'm like, damn, man. Like, even when I'm at pressers and people ask questions about him, like, damn, you ask, like, he a charity case? Like, yeah, I ask these charity case questions. Yeah. Like, I'm like, damn, man. I get it. Like, I get it. But, like, come on, man. Like, so I actually root for him. Even though it was a dude that thought he was a bad pick for the team. I root for him because I just feel like he is so – like, he gets no playing time. And he's a lottery pick. He gets nothing. Like, like you giving up on him early. That's what I'm saying. Like, they gave up on him early. It's like Wes had him, and like, you ain't it, period. Like, his rookie year, period. Like, his first year having Wes had him, you're not it. Like, well, that doesn't happen for a lottery dude. That barely happens.
Well, I mean, here's the thing with Johnny Davis, man. And like I said, Christmas Eve – they had a shoot around. I went up there and I watched him. I watched him and Bilal shoot around, man. And his shot could be fixed. Now, if you look at the placement of his shot, man, it's too close to his head. He needs a higher trajectory. But here's the thing. They tried to tinker with him early on. When they started talking about point guards, like, he's not a point guard. He's a shooting guard who's a scorer for a shooting guard. Let him be what he is. Stop trying to make him a three-point shooter. He's not a three-point shooter. I mean, he's a mid-range jump. I mean, he's a mid-range guy. So when they tinker with his – well, who he is as a player, and I'm with you, man. You know, confidence-wise, his confidence is down. You just see that, man. The fact that they're not playing him, even with DeLon being out, I mean, I know he's back now, but, you know, DeLon still is going to be a minutes restriction. So in my opinion, I don't know. I don't know really who to blame, whether it's Wes, front office, but, you know, the fact that he's not getting playing time, this is year two. You know, confidence-wise, they destroyed his confidence.
What I'm saying. Like, it's been shattered dreams, bro. Like, shattered dreams. I'm like, I've never, like, his confidence is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what concerns me about him. But hey, man, Brandon, it's been dope having you on, man. Sure. Before I let you go, man, how can folks check out the show? And also, how can they catch you on social media?
Oh, yes, sir. Definitely check me out at Locked On Wizards on YouTube and on the podcast side. And I also do the Commander's content at Washington Football Maniacs.
I'm going to have you on for that, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm actually a MediaCaster for the new Pro Sports Fan app, so definitely recommend that. So, like I said, man, I'll be at shoot-arounds, practices, at the games. I'm trying to stay busy, man, so definitely check me out at Twitter at Brandon_7Scott. So,
hey, Brandon, thanks for being on, man. I'm going to have you on for the Commander stuff. That's we'll definitely. I'll have you on for, like, our post. I don't know if you're available, like, our post and pregame stuff we do for Fox. So I'll try to get you on for that.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Let me know, man.
Commander stuff. Yeah, I definitely will. Hey, Brandon, thanks for being on, my man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
All right. My man, Brandon. Hey, that's dope, man. Brandon's cool. We can chop Wizards all day, man. Yeah, that Wizard Squad is trash. I'm not gonna lie to something. They need to get it together. Again, follow Brandon on X. That's at Brandon underscore 7 Scott. That's at Brandon underscore 7 Scott. And follow Locked On Podcast on X. That's Locked On Wizards. Locked On Wizards. Again, Locked On Wizards. All right, man. Speaking of being locked on, my man AJ Anthony Joshua was locked on Saturday. Let me introduce my next guest. These are my guys, man. They know what time it is. Right now, we are joined by hosts of the Adams Boxing Show, Wayne and Jermaine. What's up, Wayne and Jermaine, and welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene.
What's going on, brother? What's going on with you, my brother?
Oh, it's good, man. Glad to have you guys on, man. Look, man, you know my guy. Y'all know I'm an AJ dude, so I'm happy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I feel like all that smoke folks are talking to me about Deontay, now they quiet. You know what I mean? Like, they quiet now. So, but we can just get right into it, man. Saturday in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Joshua dominated Aldo Wallin, forcing Wallin's corner to stop the fight after a punishing fifth round. What were your thoughts on Joshua's performance?
Well, I expected him to win the fight. I mean, a lot of people thought out of the two main fights, of Wilder's fight with Parker and Joshua's fight with Wallin, everybody thought if it was going to be an upset, it would be Wallin beating Joshua. But I didn't have worries of that. Yeah. I thought Joshua would take care of Wallin. I know we heard some things about what Wallin has done in the past. I believe he's fought Fury before. I had no worry, and Joshua took care of business.
What about you? What are your thoughts? What do you think?
I mean, I'm kind of like my brother with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anybody was gonna be upset, it was gonna be Wilder because of the inactivity. Yeah. You know, he hasn't been active at all. I mean, I know that was his fourth fight this year, so he's been very active. So but Joshua took care of his business. I just think Joshua's on a different level than Otto Wallin. I mean, when you're on a different level, you're supposed to take care of these type of fights like this. Mm-hmm. You got something bigger down the road. So I expected nothing less. I had no worries going into that fight that Joshua was going to lose.
Why do you think people were picking in terms of having an upset? Because I know you had like upset alert. Why would you think people were saying that Joshua would be the one upset and not Deontay?
That's a good question. I mean, because mainly Wilder has that power. So everybody was expecting a knockout. Yeah. So they didn't see anything outside of a Deontay Wilder knockout win. You know what I'm saying? And we've only seen Wilder lose to Fury. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So we couldn't imagine a guy like Joseph Parker, who's lost to Anthony Joshua in the past, and he's lost to Joe Joyce in the past as well, who I'm not a big fan of anyway. Yeah. And we just seen knockout. You know what I'm saying? We knew that the Otto Wallin guy, we knew that he wasn't probably going to knock out Joshua. So it's probability. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, no, it's wild because, you know, I mean, looking at the fight one, I'm just going back to the Joshua fight before we go into Deontay. But, you know, he looks sharp, man. Like, that's the best that I thought AJ fought in a while, just that he was crisp. And it was like he stuck to the game plan, you know what I mean? And he was aggressive, too. He was aggressive at the same time. He wasn't cautious. I know, you know, he has some familiarity with a Wallin, but still, like, I just felt like he wasn't worried about, like, you know, because, I mean, Keita Buck, his chin has been suspect of late. So, and he wasn't worried about that, you know what I'm saying? Like, he fought a good fight. I think the contrast, and we'll get into Deontay, but the contrast in, like, both fights shows you what boxing is all about as a boxer. Like, you can't be one dimensional between those two heavyweights, right? Like, one was fighting with using the jab as a lead and countering off the jab. The other dude was just looking for the home run. So he just moving around just to move around. There was no real plan. Like, the other dude was moving around without a true plan. And in Joshua's case, he was moving around, leading with the jab, having an actual plan. And so you see the difference between those two. But I just thought that Joshua would just look. He looked the part. He looked like old Anthony Joshua. Did you agree?
Yeah, it seemed like in the last two fights, he's had something to prove, man.
People
been clowning him. And, yeah, I've noticed that as well.
I mean, Joshua's an active fighter. I mean, unlike other guys who only fight every 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 months, you know, Joshua gets in there. You don't hear about Joshua sitting on the couch for a year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You never hear about Joshua questioning if he should really be doing this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, Joshua's always been all in. There's never been any controversy as far as that. Probably a little minor controversy, but everybody know Joshua gets active. I mean, he you know, we know what happened with Usyk and all that, but I mean, there's a lot of guys in the heavyweight division that can't beat Usyk. You know,
facts. I said this when he fought Usyk. That's why I tell folks I'm a fan of somebody. I look at boxing for what it is, and I said like if he ain't knocking out Usyk, he gonna lose to Usyk. I said that quickly. If he don't knock out Usyk, he gonna lose to Usyk. Because it ain't going, Usyk going out, he's gonna outwork you, and he's going to be the better fighter. He is the better fighter. He will win rounds, but you have to knock him out. Like, you as the bigger heavyweight, just gonna have to knock him out. If you don't knock him out, he's gonna win the fight. So to your point, y'all, to y'all point, you're right. Like, there are certain dudes in the game. Yeah, like losing to Ruiz, like, right, that was different. But he came back and he beat Ruiz, right? Yeah. But like, an Usyk is, I mean, Usyk is different. He's a master boxer. It's like you're asking for instance, like Roy Jones Jr. fighting we went to heavyweight. I'm trying to think of the dude
John Ruiz.
John Ruiz, that's what it is. Sorry, yes, thank you. John Ruiz, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. So when he beat, but if Ruiz ain't knocking him out, Roy gonna win.
Right,
it's Roy. He's a boxer. He's not just a boxer. He's the supreme boxer. There's different levels. There's levels to this. He's a supreme boxer. So same thing for in a situation with Anthony Joshua. Joshua was a good boxer, not a bad. He's a good boxer, but Usyk's a supreme boxer. There's different levels to it. So Joshua, he shouldn't. I said this, like, you shouldn't feel bad on losing to one of the best dudes in the game. Period. Because Fury's gonna have the same issue. If he don't knock out Usyk, I'm gonna say the same thing. He's going to lose to Usyk.
Oh, he calling it now.
If he doesn't knock out Usyk, he's going to lose to Usyk.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's either way. It's either way. It ain't going you beating him in rounds. You're not going to beat him in rounds. He's too quick. He's got the Loma Chico, the Floyd. He got that mind. He knows angles. Yeah. He knows how to slide. Like, you gotta catch him to hit him. Like, that's the game he played. You gotta catch him to hit him. You know what I'm saying? So, like, look, him dominating the cruiserweight division ain't no. It's not. He wasn't doing it just because he's the only dude. He dominated because he's one of them.
Yeah,
he one of them. You know what I'm saying? I learned about Usyk before HBO lost boxing because Max used to talk about him. I'm like, who is Usyk dude that Max keep talking about?
Yeah, keep talking about all the time.
Yeah, like who he's talking.
He knocked out Tony Bellew brutally. Yeah. Oh goodness, that was
So I'm like, all right. So he's been one of them like for a minute. So to your point about bringing in factoring Usyk for Anthony Joshua, I totally agree. So let's go into the same card. Deontay Wilder was upset by Joseph Parker in a complete one-sided fight. Mm-hmm. Which if I'm Deontay Wilder, I should be ashamed of myself in this fashion. That you got shut out on a card and you are a prize fighter. That should not happen. Your thoughts on the fight and Wilder's overall performance.
It was a little questionable from Wilder. I knew something was up when he started dancing like that. I just didn't expect Wilder. Like, he was dancing like Muhammad Ali out there, man. That's not his game. We know Wilder. That's not his game.
Yeah,
man.
It's not.
So that was very alarming why he was fighting like that. He wasn't looking to engage. Mm-hmm. You know,
and to add to that, like I said on Twitter, guys that are strong and as powerful as Wilder don't back up like that.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. It's like, for what? I mean, what you do best is knocking people out. You can't really knock out majority of guys just going backwards. He's done it before, but the most powerful guys of all time never made a name by backing up, knocking guys out. When you see, you turn on a Mike Tyson highlight, what is he doing? He's going forward. You don't do that. And the fact that he did that from the jump, to me, it lets me know that he's not all the way in the game no more.
So you do believe the stuff he was talking about?
Yeah.
Like the way he was talking?
Yeah.
He pretty much won boxing.
I see it. And he said that Joseph Parker didn't even hurt him. So he said he didn't hurt him. And then he turned around and said that it's inactivity. So that lets me know if you don't even come back in March, as early as March, that means you ain't all the way there because you blamed on inactivity. So are you still going to be inactive? Because you can't keep using that excuse. You already put it out there and blame that. Yeah. So are you going to keep rolling with that same situation? You got to come back early then. Yeah. Or you really not in the game no more.
So this is my thing about Wilder as well. Because some people just use excuses all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he just one of them dudes. Like, it's like the suit. Like, I don't believe. So, yeah, his heart may not be in it. I kind of like, I want to go that route. But when it comes to him, I feel like he always looks for that type of excuse to make him, like, or, like, same thing, like Fury, there was something on his gloves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my bodysuit was too heavy, or that was made me tired.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? It's always, like, with him, it's always something. So it's hard for me, because my brother, he's watching the fight, he's like, yeah, he done. And I was like, yeah, he done. But I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, I was like, I don't know if he's saying that just to make him look seem a little different so folks will get off his case.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like he does this all the time after a loss. It's never, other than maybe the last time Fury knocked him out. Mm-hmm. His last fight, I think he kind of just took it in stride.
Yeah, that last
one. Like, other than that, like, every loss is an excuse.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you that. I'm gonna tell you this, Woj. A lot of people don't notice. Some people probably do notice. Wilder has one of them fan bases that really come to protect him.
Yes.
Yeah.
We talk about a lot of fan bases out there, but we never talk about Wilder fan bases. Wilder has one of them cult fan bases.
He do, bro.
I don't know if he still got it now because he left PBC and all that. Yeah. But when he was with them, they arrived for him and even make an excuse before he even say anything.
Yep.
Be real. Like, I got one of my boys. Like, we used to. They got like, they part of the family. The problem is when you keep losing, you can't protect the dude no more. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, so like it used to be off the rip to your point, like, yeah, with the thing, the gloves and stuff, that whole glove situation. Mm-hmm. I had my boys were defending him too thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all, you ain't see the video. Y'all ain't see the video. You ain't saying that it ain't look shaky to you. I was like, bro, y'all overthinking this thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he just got his butt whipped. I don't know what you want to see, what you trying to look for. But he just got his ass rocked. That's what it was. Yeah. That's what time it was.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you don't know. Look, I'm an Earl dude. I ain't going there saying Earl looked funny. He looked like himself. Like, nah, I was like, Earl got rocked. I'm not going with them excuses, man. And I love Earl, but he got rocked. You ain't never going to hear me say, man, Earl, like he was high. Or Earl, like the hydrate. Why his color looked that way? Folks say it, but you barely hear me use that as an excuse of why he lost. Never. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, he got rocked. Like, Bud is a better dude.
Yeah, that's a common thing nowadays. Every time a fighter loses, is all these type of excuses come out the woodworks on why he lost. Said he just lost.
Yeah, you just lost. You lost. Like, it's okay. Yeah. Like, there's no, like, now, like, I've learned for, like, this fight with Parker, there's no excuse for anybody to use, right? Because, he just got beat. There isn't, like, the only thing you can, so the only excuse you can say as a fan of Wilder is that he don't got the heart for it anymore. That's what you could excuse you can say. My thing is, like, and this is real, like, he's shown you who he is throughout the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And no knock on him, because, like, y'all right, he is that one-hitter quitter. This is what he got. And that thing is lethal. It's one of the best things since I've seen Iron Mike. It's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference, I don't like the comparison with Iron Mike. It bothers me when they do this. Like, especially Mike pre-jail, mm-hmm. Mike. Like, Mike had head movement. He was going in. He was setting up his power punches. He wasn't just trying to, like, swing. Like, he wasn't swinging for the fences all crazy consistently. And not to say Deontay does that all the time, but a lot of times Deontay's swinging was just wild. Yeah. Mike was control reckless. Like, he was controlled. After jail, you can make the argument and say, like, yeah, he was a little bit reckless.
Yeah.
But Mike was like, before he got locked up, he was controlled chaos. That thing was controlled.
Very methodical. Exactly
what he was doing. He was methodical. Yeah. He was setting you up. He was setting you up for his uppercut. He was setting you up for his, he was setting you up for everything. Those things, he wasn't going there wild trying to just throw punches and getting tired. Like, he would jab you. He would do a lot of stuff with it, put in powerful combinations. Deontay has always been what he is. Yeah. It's the right hand. That's all he waiting on. He waiting on the right hand. You know what I'm saying? If you find a way to take it away, you got a good opportunity to last long in a fight. Then obviously if you slip, then he can get you. But you got an opportunity to we saw this with King Kong Ortiz. He dominated most of the fight, but he got knocked. He got his ass knocked out. And that's only that's the only difference. But he dominated the fight, though.
Just only this time he didn't get the knockout this time.
Yeah, this time he didn't get a knockout. That's what I'm saying. Like, so for you, like, what is it about that? Like, why can you question why hasn't he like developed? Not to say you gotta be all time a great boxer, but developing a point to where he can put punches together. I mean, we talking about a dude who went to the Olympics. Like, he's not, like, obviously he was trained and coached up a certain way. Like, why is it hard for him? Footwork, the footwork doesn't look that good. Putting punches together, why is it so hard for him to get it right in terms of being a
In my opinion, boxer? I think he's just not that talented of a fighter. I think he has that power, and he knows how to throw those punches, and that's as far as it goes. I don't think I don't really think he's been taught to really use a lot of head movement and do a lot of things. I think most of his trainers that he's had, I think they know what he has, and they know what he doesn't have, and I don't think they've tried to make him into something that he's not. The main thing is the power, and he's not the most talented guy. But when you knock out people, people don't care about the talents, and they don't care about your deficiencies and your bad footwork and over your lack of footwork. You can say they don't care about it because you're just knocking people out.
Yeah, that equalizes Max a lot of.
It's like, you know, it's like playing that video game with that character that has that one special move. If he does so much, you're not even thinking about what he don't have. You just know everybody winning.
Yeah, he's gonna keep using it over and over.
I'm gonna keep on using it. I don't care about what he can't do because ain't nobody exposed it yet. Because he hit you before you hit him. It doesn't even matter what you didn't see. You know what I'm saying?
Good point. That's a good point. That's definitely a good point. So if you were obviously boxing fans, been won this fight. It's been signed for 2020. It's supposed to go down 2024. Deontay Wilder versus versus Anthony Joshua. Do you think does this fight hinder it? Do you think that it's because Joshua came out and said, like, he's still down to fight him.
I think the fight can still happen. I don't know if you remember when Zab Judah lost to Carlos Baldemir, and he still fought Floyd after that.
Oh, yeah, he did. Floyd just won in that fight. Yeah, I know.
So there's bad blood in history there, too. I think it still can happen. As long as they do it right away, man, don't have us waiting for this. You know what I'm saying? It's been waiting for all these years to begin with, so.
Yeah, a lot of the steam has been taken off from the fight. But I'm going to tell you one thing that's going to help bring the steam back. Wilder's excuses.
That's what I'm saying. Because I'm telling you, because he's not going to retire. Cause, like, all that, man, I just don't, I have a whole different, like, I just feel like all that stuff happened before. Like, you were talking big stuff before the fight. And folks are like, he's trying to sell the fight. That's the excuse, folks.
Yeah.
He's trying to sell the fight. I was like, but you ain't mentioned none of that stuff with your family, religion, none of that stuff so after you lost.
Right.
Yeah. Why is it like, why I gotta be after? Like, can't you just keep it? I'm gonna give you an example. Cause I can make the argument, and I won't use excuse, that the way Earl was talking prior to Bud, I could have made an excuse. But he said, cause he was talking stuff like he was talking real, like he was set. He talked real set prior to fighting Bud. Prior to the fight, he didn't say after. Before he was sounding like it was too much respect. Everybody was talking about a lot of respect, but he was sounding like, all right, you know, I'm here. I've done a lot in the game. Blah blah blah. This that the other. Like, and I could say like, okay, maybe his heart's not into it, but at least he did it after before. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could make that argument. Not going to because I know that dude's a competitor. He want to fight. Like, I know that, but I could make that excuse. This dude always do. It's like that kid that'd be like, all right, man, you know what I'm saying? This game, I beat you. I'm playing ball. I hit a J in your face. Nah, man, my shoestring was untied. I wasn't ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing here? Like, I just feel like when it comes to Deontay, it's always an excuse. And I agree with you. Like, I agree with you. This is why I'm so angry at, like, the stuff he said after the fight. Because you're going to fight. Like, if Anthony Joshua said we're going to make this happen, you're going to fight him. So what's that? So what's going to be the excuse now? You can't say all that other stuff anymore. Like, you know, like, what are you going to do?
That's the thing. And when he does that, it discredits his opponents. And it's like, why would anybody want to fight you? Because I'm not going to get credit for it. Because it's always going to be, you know what I'm saying, if I win. So,
It's just like, so would you, as you as a spectator, is it a fight you want to see, though?
What you think?
I mean, I still watch. It's two heavyweights. I mean, in the same time, Wilder still has that punch. And if he's blaming on inactivity, come back quick.
Exactly.
Let's see if your sharpness is there if you come back quick. Because right. What's your excuse going to be?
Exactly.
When Anthony Joshua dropped the hammers on you. You know what I'm saying? You can't throw at inactivity because you didn't came back quick. Because he was supposed to, I believe, fight in March, if I'm not mistaken.
It's so, March, right? It's supposed to happen in March, right?
That, yeah, that's what I believe it was supposed to be. So I'll still watch. It's two heavyweights at the end of the day. I mean, somebody's going to get hurt. I don't see that fight going and somebody don't get hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt in that fight. So why would I not want to see
it? Check this out, Will. Check this out. Deontay has won this fight for years. So look, he should be even more motivated now you're going against Josh.
Well, he didn't sound like it after he lost. That's what I'm saying. Sound like after, he want to go back to his I mean, hey, I ain't knocking it. If that's how you feel for real, then that's a blessing. You got a daughter, you blessed. But you weren't talking like that before. After, you weren't talking like that after. You want to be with your daughter. You want you got a new religion. Like you feel good about life. Like all right, that's cool. If that's true, then don't fight. I'm gonna keep it a buck. Don't fight. I don't want to see the ring. And then you can keep like I'm all about keeping that consistent energy. Like that's how you feel. That's how you feel.
Yeah.
Like you know what I'm saying. Like, but it ain't that like I don't like I'm disrespect Deontay because I think getting that ring it takes a lot out of you, man, mentally, physically, whatever. So I respect the man for getting the ring, going one-on-one, mano a mano, anybody. It's just that you always with Deontay, you always hear it. Like that's the thing. Like you always hear something, and it's always something, and that's the thing that kind of frustrates me. I'm like, golly, bro, like, after if you're gonna lose like how I mean I'm gonna use Earl, but lose like Earl lost.
Yeah, just like, take it like
man, just take it like a champ. Like you lose like. There's so many dudes in the game now. They take the L and they take it like a soldier. They're like, yeah, man, like, yo, the better fighter won.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you get that. And
I agree 100%. Take a page out of Errol Spence, but just take it. Don't make any excuses. You know what I'm saying? Just lose honorably. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because, like, for real, even the Fury fights and stuff, like, dog, that dude is beating your ass. Like, take the L like a man.
Yeah.
Like, those are losses that I'm like, yo, just take that one. Take all, like, bro. Even the one Fury came up like the Undertaker. He was dominating that fight.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, it was just that you got it's just that the Undertaker moment. That's the only thing people remember is the Undertaker moment. But he was. Don't get it twisted. You watch that. Go. I was always tell folks go back and watch that fight. Other than that round, he knocked him, like the round. I think he knocked him down. He knocked him down two times, or he stumbled him another round. Other than that, he stumbled or he knocked him down twice.
I thought he knocked him down
twice. Was it two different rounds, right?
Knocked him down like in the second round.
Yeah, early. So other than those rounds, real talk.
Mm-hmm.
If you do the math, he ain't win the fight.
Yeah,
that's the only two rounds he had.
Yeah, Wilder will lose rounds, but this...
only rounds. Yeah, I always go back and watch the fight and judge it for real. They gave him a draw because they felt like they had to give him a draw.
Yeah,
that's the reason.
Yeah,
Think about it. A draw, you got knocked down twice.
Mm-hmm.
A draw that shows you how much that dude really dominated the fight, other than knockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell folks like, y'all, look, your man, you lucky that your man even got that far.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Y'all lucky. You know what I'm saying? We had a poll. Folks said about they think the fight still happened. 60% said yes, 40% said no. So
pretty close. I mean, I think
pretty close. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm not really. I mean, I feel like it doesn't need like this fight. All right, so like, depending on Usyk and Fury fight when. Supposed to happen when?
I'm thinking. I thought that was February. I think
it's February, right?
Yeah, absolutely February.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my thought process. So if Fury wins, I think the Wilder fight gets postponed.
So Fury Joshua then?
I think it's Fury Joshua.
I'm not surprised they never fought. They both from the UK.
They actually signed something already though. They got something but then Usyk thing happened.
It's like
they were supposed to fight. It was supposed to happen. It's supposed to happen.
I mean, I hope it does.
In 2024, it's supposed to happen in 2024, but things happen because Usyk was taking forever. Fury was taking forever to get to what's that? Because he was taking forever, but it was like Joshua. Those two camps were talking.
Yeah.
So I think that if Usyk, I kind of think that's why I think the way Eddie Hearns answered the question about. He answered the question when they asked him about the Wilder Joshua fight happening. He was like, and this could be a blessing because all Joshua care about is like all he's is about his titles right now.
Mm-hmm.
He said that. So when he said that, I was like, okay. You're not going to do Fury. You're not going to do Usyk again because, I mean, Usyk doesn't need to fight. He beat you twice, bro. Like, that doesn't need to happen. But Fury is new. Like, that can happen.
Yeah, I'm down for Joshua Fury. That's a big fight in the UK, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a massive fight. And you feel like the UK fans say a massive fight. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that would be – I think if Usyk loses to Fury, I think that's the fight. I could see something funny happening. Because I can actually – real talk, I can actually – I know they scheduled for March – I can see them pushing it back.
Very possible.
Because it's still soon. So you'll push it back just to see what happens with that fight. And then if they push it back and something happens that in Joshua's favor, then Joshua may try to get Fury. Because 2024, I know he wants belts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He wants belts. Like from his post-fight interview, that's what he said. He wants belts. And if you're fighting Wilder in March, if it'd be later in the year in 2024, if you're getting that, I mean, you could get it in September, but knowing how Fury, I mean, to schedule a fight is hard. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. Knowing how Fury's camp could be, you may get it in 2025. And I don't think he won it 2025.
And I would hope it gets done in 2024.
Yeah. I mean, if they're in good faith, maybe they got something, you know, under the table, like it could happen in September. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? March, yeah, September would be probably the next best time to get a fight for real. For marketing and promoting. Yeah, September would probably be the best. But yeah, that would have to be the move, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hey, but fellas, this has been dope, man. Appreciate y'all for being on. As always, man.
No doubt.
Wait. I did ask this question. I do ask this question. I'm saying that Wilder be BSing, making excuses. Do you think he really about to retire though? Think he should retire? Do you think he should retire? Forget what I think. Do you think he should retire?
You gotta consider it. You gotta consider it. He didn't really look too good. And just based by his comments, it seems like he's halfway in, halfway out. And if that's how it really is, he needs to seriously consider it. Like I said, depending on when he comes back, we'll let you know all you need to know. If he waits 8 to 9 months to come back, it tells you he ain't all the way in, because you don't take that long after you make an excuse about how the guy didn't hurt you and how it was inactivity. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
I can see that then. Yeah. I kind of think he should retire. I mean, I'm going to be real with you because it ain't getting better. Mine is more of a technical thing. If it ain't getting better, you're putting yourself at risk.
Yeah, you are.
You understand, guys, that are going to really be ready. And plus, dog, I didn't even know he was 38. I was like, damn, he 38? That's what got me in my mind. I was like,
Wilder's getting up there.
Yeah. He's like, he getting up there. And I'm like, you know, my brother, I was rapping. He's like, you know, I remember he started late in the game, but now I'm like, you 38. And you're not even a supreme boxer. Let me keep the buck. You're not a supreme boxer. You're 38.
Yep.
And you're not active. You're not going to last.
Start slowing down anyway. Your power goes too.
Even your sudden quickness to get the power shots off, bro. You could be a target.
And check this out. Well, usually your power goes later. Like usually the power stays there for most boxers. The power punch is usually still there. Your power wasn't even there.
Yes, I'm saying it ain't look good. Like I'm serious. Like Joseph, like Parker was like even trying to. I was like, bro, you got this fight. Why are you trying to like the last round? Like, bro, you geeking. I'm like, you geeking. Yeah. You geeking. Yeah, I'm like, come on, bro. Like, do you want to waste like you wasted all the work you've done? Because you really about to put your life at risk.
Yeah.
Keep messing with the one-handed boogeyman. I ain't gonna hold you like you do got the one hand. Keep messing with the one-handed boogeyman if you want to. You already had this fight won. I don't know what you trying to do.
Out of resume, man.
Don't need to go out in style.
Yeah, bro. Like you trying to race all your hard work? Did that make any sense?
Like Roy Jones trying to used to tell him be a needle in a haystack, man.
Yeah, for real. Facts. Yeah. So yeah, for him, I'm like, yeah, but I do think that he's 38, man. Like, and like the guys who let you, you're right, like your power is usually the last thing to leave you. But when you're 38, the guys who are for like this, the guys who last long. At like longer than any of them, like getting Mike didn't last long like that after, you know, once he kind of, and but that's a lot of factors that play with Mike, right?
Yeah.
But you usually got to be a good technician to last long.
Yeah.
And you gotta still have to be quick, and you still gotta be quick too, right?
Yeah.
And if you're one-sided, that one-dimensional, I don't see it. So I'm actually on the side saying he should retire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually on the side to say he should retire, and this is because of skill and age. Skill and age, to be real with you. I'm gonna be real with y'all.
My man worked all in retirement for a while though.
Yeah. I didn't think about it till I wrote the question up because the way he was talking. But now I'm thinking like the age after just rapping with y'all, like 38. And I'm trying to think of all the old dudes who lasted in the game for a long time. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you got George Foreman that came back.
Which was a different type of heavyweight. True. Actually, he chose. Like he got more, which was a good fit. He knew that. A lighter heavyweight. Not stupid. Jordan wasn't stupid. Mm-hmm. He got a Vander. They had a good fight, but you know what I'm saying? Vander is hit. It's all about the war. It's almost like a Frazier. Like he like a little bit. Vander reminds me of Frazier. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like he got that type of mentality. But George could have hurt himself. He had some guys. George could have hurt himself. I remember watching. He fought, but like them dudes, and like he was fighting, like he was a soldier, and I would argue that George is still again a better boxer.
Better boxer.
He's not one dimensional. You know what I'm saying? So, but George is putting his life in jeopardy. He's putting his life in jeopardy. Like Deontay, different because like you can't. He doesn't like hate like the dude has ability. So I'm not trying to take it away from him, but
he has limited. He's limited.
If you limited and you aging, I mean, not to be fun, like it is what it is. Like you don't get, like real talk, you gonna get yourself hurt.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You gonna get yourself hurt. Like undeniably. Yeah, and you got younger heavyweights coming out there who you know they gonna look at you like you a trophy.
Yeah.
Like you a trophy. Like I'm gonna fight this dude. Oh, this Deontay, he's the champ. Oh man, I'm gonna put him on my belt.
The hope is that the Joshua fight can really get him back to what he used to be. Like he'll be extra motivated. Mm-hmm. You a hope. That's the hope.
You know what? You're right. But this is the thing I've learned. Okay, there's two things. We've all seen it too, real talk. Mm-hmm. Being knocked out does something to you. Like it does something to you. Some boxers are never the same. I mean, look, we were talking about one earlier. Like we mentioned Roy. Once Roy hit the canvas, like Roy was never the same.
Never the same. Then he came. Look, he got knocked out by Tyra. Knocked out by Ben Johnson.
Yeah. Like, and I was like, when Ben Johnson knocked him down, I was like, yo, what's happening?
Yeah.
Like Tarver, like at least Tarver at the time, like, you know, Tarver was one of the, you know, up and coming ones for real.
Mm-hmm.
But Ben Johnson was a journeyman type of dude and knocked him out. Yeah. I was like, oh man, this ain't.
Yeah, that's when you knew.
This ain't Roy. Yeah. This ain't Roy no more. Like, so when you touch the canvas for real, that's why, you know, even looking at my man Earl, I'm like, yo, come on, man. I hope you get back, dog. Yeah. I hope this doesn't apply to you.
Yeah.
I hope it don't apply to you.
Yeah, I hope Earl get back in there, too. I know I'm waiting on that fight, too, him and Bud. Yeah. We'll see if that happens.
I don't know what's going to happen with that fight. I go lie to y'all. I ain't going to lie to y'all. Hey, y'all know I'm a big Earl dude. I don't know. I don't even want that fight to happen. I ain't going to lie to y'all.
Yeah.
I'm trying to save face. I'm one of the Earl supporters. I'm trying to save face. I'm like,
no, I feel you.
I'm like, yo, Earl, don't come on, man. You don't gotta do that.
Yeah.
I was like, hey man, come on, man. Hey, man, Crawford, go fight Charlo or something. Leave that man alone. That man is too competitive, man. He don't know any better right now.
Yeah, he wants his get back. I understand.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I want him to get back, man. I hope he does. Man, I want to see that fight, too. All jokes aside, I want to see that fight, too. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that, I know he's put on some weight. He looked good on YouTube, like on clips, on video clips. That's how everybody starts it. So that never means nothing to me anyway. I got to see you in the ring. And
yeah.
I know the last thing I saw in the ring was something disgusting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It was bad.
It was bad, man. It was really, really bad. But hey, fellas, man, great having you guys on.
Oh, yeah,
you guys are amazing. Before I let y'all go, man, let our listeners know and viewers know how to catch your content on YouTube and also how to follow you on social media.
Look, follow us on Twitter at Adams Boxing Show, one of the best followers out there. Definitely appreciate all of the followers and subscribers on YouTube as well. We definitely get back active on the YouTube, but definitely you got to follow us on Twitter, and we definitely going to follow y'all back as well. Yes,
must follow. If you like boxing and you don't follow us, I don't think you really like
they ain't lying. You're right, because they it. I'm going to tell y'all, they it. And we call it X now, man. We can't call it Twitter no more. It's X.
Oh, shout out to your man Ray. I know he wasn't on today, man, but shout out to Ray.
What's up? Oh, man. Yeah, appreciate it. He out. I think he out of the country.
He having some fun out of the country.
But yeah, man, appreciate y'all though. Appreciate y'all. Yeah, but real talk though, I want to say that to y'all show y'all content on X, amazing. Like y'all, the stuff that y'all put out there makes you think about the boxing game. And also, when you look at it and you listen to it, I mean, when you watch it and read the stuff, you could tell that you guys are insightful. So to your point and to your credit, folks, if y'all not freaking following these dudes on X, and you see it right here, it says Adams Boxing Show. So you staring at it right now.
Yeah.
So you know what you know what time it is. You know what you can do. You could take that, hit the little search engine on X, boom, bam. It says it's going to say Adams Boxing Show. Hit the follow. It's all good. Just go that route. If you're a boxer fan, you will not be disappointed.
I stamped that.
Y'all already know what time it is.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to the urban sports scene, man. Appreciate y'all.
All right, man. You take it easy, y'all. Y'all take it easy. Happy holidays, man. For real. Happy holidays, man. All right, man.
All right.
Hey, man. Cool cats, man. I love those dudes. Those dudes are dope individuals, man. They know they boxing. I appreciate, first off, I appreciate all the guests. Appreciate the folks chiming in on comments. This just shows was lit. All the Commanders talk was amazing. Wizards talk, my man Brandon, my man Lake for talking to the Commanders. Appreciate everybody, appreciate everybody for watching and all the guests too as well. Again, follow my guys on X at Adams Boxing Show. Again, at Adams Boxing Show. All right, man. Also, I'm gonna say what I said in the beginning. I'm gonna say it now. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Tune in, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Amp Empire Media at amppiremedia.com. This show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amplifier shows as well as other great content. Before I close the show out, I do kind of want to, I know folks have had some actual comments. I'll make sure I read some comments about some other stuff that was said earlier. Let's see. My man Dujanay said the decision needs to be made by the GM, period. Agreed. Just about the Commanders. Anything else? Reeks Dan Snyder. Dujanay also said, this team needs to draft the best available. I agree with that. In the first round, you need to start building this O-line. Dallas started doing that several years ago. I do agree. I just feel like Washington, when this team's successful, they're building it from the O-line, man. They do. They build it from the O-line. That's always – I mean, the Hawks, where do they came from? They weren't just put patchwork. The Niners are going to work the Commanders. I kind of agree to that. Let's see. David Burns said, watching from, Cedar Hills, Texas. What's going on, David? Appreciate you, my man. Oh, man. That's dope, bro. That's dope. My man Marv said, Wizards are garbage. All teams in Washington are trash. Hey, thanks, Marv. Thanks for tuning in, man. Appreciate you. Stephen Thompson said, play Johnny Davis the rest of this game. Yeah. This team needs to play Johnny Davis. I feel bad for the dude. Maybe he needs to get some more, but he needs to get some burn. I mean, you're a young dude, and this team's bad. Might as well play him. Wes Unsell looks like Beaker from the Muppet Show. I ain't messing with y'all, man. Y'all are terrible. And with that, read all of them. I think I read up pretty much all of them. Yeah. Oh, my man, John Johnson, the Chase Homecoming. Yeah, Chase Young Homecoming. Definitely. All right, man. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. You all are the real MVPs. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Center for ages. Yiddy, deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie.